development. On a recording in progress for Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. Please set your phones to stun and let's all stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Call the roll, please.
Present.
Here.
Present.
Derek Minnick.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ryan Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
Levon Whitaker, absent. William Baker.
Present. All right, we have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from June 16, 2021. Any motions, modifications, what say you, gentlemen?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from June 16th of 2021.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, any discussion? Be there now in the new world. We now do a roll call vote on everything, including adjourning the meeting. Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Anthony Brown.
Yes.
Derek Minnick.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. They're out there for everybody to see. And as part of the chairman's report, which is next up on the agenda, please make sure you jot down the website address for the locale. I'll do a pride of vote in having all of the recordings of the meetings, all the minutes, everything that's out there, plus a pretty cool picture of some of the projects that have happened since we've been able to be funded since the events of September 2008, to see what happens when we have a $275 million man-made project without a maintenance program. So we're going to work hard and diligent since the approval of the dollars in what, Dan, was that 2011 we got money?
12.
And everybody start showing up? 12?
12, 13.
Absolutely. To fix 40 years of neglect. So it's important that we remember why we're here. It's for the things that you're seeing in the yellowing pictures not to ever happen again. And make sure we do this and continue to improve the community as a true economic development project, which is what I think this group has been doing since we've taken over since the flood of 2008. It's enough for me from the finance report. Let's go on and pay some bills, Dan, now that we have some money. Folks, we need a motion, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the claims for July 21 in the amount of $1,134,175.41.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, why don't you tell us how we're paying, spending the taxpayers' money? Oh, sorry, it's a fee.
It's a fee. I'll start off with some of the larger ones. First one will be $426,000 for the Meadowdale Storage Basin project. That was a part of an application that they put forth.
That's in Merrillville, folks.
In Merrillville. That will be the last payment. We are closing that project out for our purposes. Also $74,000, same community, Merrillville, for the half place Bon Air Lake Culver project. That also closes it out. So for next time you see our project tracker, that will be now a completed project. For $210,244, our final payment to Earthworks, which is for the Rock Ripple project and Deep River in Lake Station. Overall, that project was $4.4 million and some change. And the only overage was for $9,000. That would be a change order. And that was because we asked them to pave some more of the street that was damaged during construction. So that is the last payment for that one. However, we are working on some final finishing touches in that area with some fencing and rock to, I guess, help improve it a little bit better than what it is currently. We have a claim here for $111,000 for National Autobahn Society, also part of an agreement that we have with them for over the last couple of years. And they will be here to present not only about this, but about future ideas and plans. Have a couple of claims. One claim for Grimmer Construction for $49,967. That is to repair some of the decking for the pedestrian bridges on the four pedestrian bridges. Over time, they eventually wear out, and for safety purposes, we have those removed Delta 3 for $42,250 for a ditch clearing to help with Rosser Lake. That's the lake in Lake Station. There was some trouble with the water getting from Rosser Lake underneath I-65 into an area ultimately that leads itself into the river. U.S. Geological Survey, that's our quarterly payment to them for all the operation and maintenance of the stream gates, which will also be found at our website. So if you're ever interested during a heavy rain event, you know, we can go there by either map or location and find any gauge within the watershed you'd want. It's located there. And then Great Lake Electrical Maintenance for $14,412 for monthly pump station inspections. That also includes dealing with the large rain event that we experienced at the end of June. That's for the most part the claims. If I didn't hammer all of them, but if you have any questions about
okay, any questions for Mr. Repay on the bills?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Dan, on the Grimmer bill, on some of the itemized daily job sheets, there was work done on Saturday and Sunday. Were they directed by you to do that for emergency reasons? So acceptable, but if not, why would that have been done and billed back to us?
They didn't charge us overtime, and that was the time that they could get. That's what the time that they had. So they ate the overtime charge for those costs because we said we didn't want to pay the overtime for it. So yeah,
okay.
I had a conversation with Mr. Dulacek on that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So Dan, I have a question with regards to the pedestrian decking. How many, remind me, pedestrian deck bridges do we have that we're responsible for? Five or six? Are most of them new?
Four. Two off of Kennedy, one off of the Boulevard, and then one off of Manor Avenue.
Just so I don't forget is to think about those as far as the recurring preventative maintenance on those deckings and to see if we can't find somebody that comes up with another material that doesn't rot.
Like a plastic?
Or iron. So we have somebody, I've got a guy.
Well, we had someone here on board that could probably help you with that. He'd be happy to participate.
So I just, as an idea, all right, because that's going to be a continual thing. If we keep putting wood decking on there, that's going to be an ongoing maintenance issue. Any other questions for Dan on bills?
Just real quick, Dan, you said that regarding Lake Station, there's going to be additional charges coming in for fencing and rocks. Is that just additional cost, or is that going to be done separately?
It's going to be done separately. Actually, the fencing is done through a separate, just a fencing company directly. It's going to be about $13,000 in fencing, some split rail, some chain link. And then there is additional stonework that will be done by Earthworks. It just came across the email now, which I think is $6,500 for the purchase of the stone and I believe the placement of the stone.
These are just big boulders, right?
Huge, yeah,
stones,
right?
Okay.
Anything else, gentlemen? Got a motion and a second, Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas
Lipke.
Yes.
Thomas
Lipke. Yes.
Anthony Broaddus.
Yes.
Derek.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron
Ware.
Yes.
Robert
Ritchie.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Next up, moving down the line, Mr. Repay, between Project Tracker and the Executive Director's report. We had a lot of rain since we last met.
We did, and I guess I'll start with that. In most areas, they received close to 10 inches of rain over the five-day period, some in some great bursts and some days of sunshine. So overall, the system handled itself well. We had a couple issues. One at one of our pump stations there at Burr Street went out for probably about a day. And we got that back up and running. I know Highland experienced some outages as well. We had a blockage at both the diverter or the diversion, which is located off of Northcott. A couple of logs got there. So we went in there on a Sunday afternoon to, or Sunday morning actually, to take those out and to fix that problem. And then more recently, we had Kennedy Avenue blocked up with some material and trees and all sorts of stuff, and we had that removed. So now the system is completely flowing to the way it should, and waiting for the next monsoon, which is probably right around the corner. So overall, everything worked well as anticipated. No issues that I was made aware of for flooding or even some backups. Like I said, the only thing, we had a couple pump stations go down. One in the Highland was a lightning strike. The one for us was a fuse that went bad. But other than that, overall, everything worked as we have anticipated. We finally got a 408 permit for the First Street Railroad closure. We've been working on that since April 2020 with the Corps. So now that we have the permit, we can go ahead and get it scheduled with the railroad to install. It'll be a one-day install, which basically, if you guys remember, it's a big I-beam or aluminum beam that we have to slide across the rail line, which will no longer be necessary because it will be permanently affixed underneath the rail line. The natural spring is now scheduled to, the bids will be out in September for them to be awarded at our September meeting and hopefully construction in October. Once we sort of dealt with a permitting issue with the Army Corps on that one, that is no longer an issue, my understanding. We, as I said before, in my claims, the Rosser Lake drainage improvement is complete. During the middle of that large rain event, I guess I should say we were in the midst with partnership with the town of Griffith, cleaning out the Arbor Gas Tunnel, which is the diversion of water from Katy Marsh, and it comes through Arbor Gas, basically underneath Arbor Gas. It's a 9-foot culvert that every 5 years we need to inspect. So we have to dewater it and then demuck it, which is just getting rid of all the garbage that's in it. And then they video it to make sure that there's no issues with it. We were in the midst of doing that. We were about 1,000 feet from clearing it, and this rain kept on coming. And in order, we felt it was best to open it up and take the extra couple of days that it's going to cost, as opposed to possibly flooding people that are impacted by the Katy Marsh ditch. So that has now been complete. Oh, we will be getting the bill soon for the demucking. The town pays for the actual inspection of it with the monies that they get for reimbursement. So we, at least the preliminary understanding is there is no issues with that tunnel, which is a good thing for all involved. It means it's working the way it should. Try to do some of these. Did a tour of all the Merrillville projects, which I talked about under the claims, both the Meadowdale and the Bonair, the Taft place. They all look great. They all are very appreciative of our participation. And like I said, it's always good to get a first-hand look at some of these projects that we fund, as opposed to just getting pictures. Beyond that, I don't have anything else unless you have any particular questions about any project specific. I can speak to Hart's Ditch. We're still working with the county to get some reinforcement and to stabilize some banks. Unfortunately, as we understand that there's some permitting delays going on, and so we're not going to get as much done this year, but they believe we'll be able to get more done next year, just from a pure paperwork standpoint of getting the permits through the system. They've experienced this throughout the area as far as getting it through, and I don't know what it's related to, but maybe just a lot of people are doing work that require permits and it requires time.
Here to help. What about scanning projects? Taking all the paper, yeah, reams and reams of paper that we inherited.
To understand it, I guess you'd have to come to our office, but everything that was done from this project from the early 80s till now is all been paper. All the acquisitions that we do, all of the, for those of you that don't know, when we had to pay bills prior to getting the fee instituted, we would have to send these bills down to the state. The state would then write us a check, which would take generally about 45 days, and then we would pay the vendors. And so with everything of that, it's a documentation. So if you just imagine, here's the claim list, and that, you know, that would get a lot thicker, as especially in the construction. So all those have been scanned now. All the agendas have been scanned. All the minutes have been scanned. We're fast approaching the actual parcels, which are probably not as important for the general public, but more for us and for crediting. But the agendas and the minutes are really cool to listen and watch and look at. And we're going to put that up on our website so that
you can look back in 1983 and see what issues were facing the locale commission at that time.
Love history.
Mm-hmm.
Great solution for insomnia.
I've got your questions, Mr. Chair.
Sure. Have at it.
Hard stitch, real quick. I thought we were doing that on our own. What's the issue with permit? Like, who are we needing permits from?
You need from the Division of Water for the disruption of working at a floodway. So we have been partnering with Lake County because Lake County has had some interest in possibly taking over Hard Stitch as a regulated drain. Eventually, once we get enough of these done, and they would help participate. Now, they're still participating in the helping of our permitting process because they've done it so many times that it's a lot easier for them. But we are going to do some under the emergency statute of permitting, meaning it's critical that we need to do it. However, we had a couple plans of doing some large stretches of 400 or 500 linear feet of those, and those take a lot longer. And we're looking actually for a, as opposed to just doing hard armoring it, we're looking at some alternative ways that haven't been used necessarily in Indiana, which they believe will draw them a little bit longer in the process because they'll have to
review it,
give themselves up and running on it.
Okay. And then the only other quick question I have was the natural spring. Any other potential delays? I know we had some issues with the Corps project manager. Your report said you believe we're past the issue.
I do. Well, because I'm doing it without their permission.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm just going to be honest.
Okay.
You shouldn't say that this is being recorded.
I don't care. I mean, they wanted to do a 408 permit. By definition, a 408 permit is changing the levee and its protection. We are not changing any levee and we're not changing any protection. It's inside the levee, which is over 150 feet inside. So it would be as if the city of Gary was to pave that road, they would need a 408 permit. So I'm basically doing, or we're basically doing the same thing. So I said, I'm not doing the 408 permit. And that's why I said, I believe we're past it and we're just going to do it. And I don't think they'll have a problem. And if they do, then they really have to come here to explain. I've invited them here tonight to talk to you guys. I think they had some other meetings to attend to.
White Sox game.
Possible. So that's full disclosure there, Commissioner Broadnax.
Anything else for Mr. Repay? Moving right along, Mr. Repay, introduce the presentation, please.
I don't have a great introduction. I mean, that you did provide me an introduction of what to say, but Nat has been here before. You recall, I think he was back here in May, talking about what the future holds for our partnership when we were working on select areas to fix or to better make better the quality of the wetlands that we have on hand. I think he will talk about, I haven't seen his full presentation, about what has transpired, what the closeout is, and what the future holds as far as maintaining what the work they've done, as well as putting the control structures in. And he'll surprise me, I'm sure, with some other great insightful stuff, right? There it is.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's a great introduction.
That was fabulous.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dan, Commissioner. Let's see if I can get this screen shared correctly.
There it is.
Thank you, Mr. Repay. Thank you, Commissioners, for hosting us again. Yeah, my name is Nat Miller. I'm the Director of Conservation for Ottawa Great Lakes, which is a regional field office of National Audubon Society, headquartered here in Chicago. I'll be presenting tonight with my colleague Jennifer Johnson, as well as our partner for Lake County Parks, Craig Zanstra. We also have a few folks in the room who are related with our broad partnership, which is one of the keys we see to the success of this work, is an effort that really involves over a dozen organizations and hundreds of people. Some folks from Dunes County and Audubon Society are here, as well as the Wetlands Initiative, who you heard from their senior ecologist, Dr. Gary Sullivan, last time we were here, which I think was April. Carrie and myself presented kind of where we were and especially where we're going with water control. So today we'll be a little more high level. I'll give you a check-in kind of on our claim that we submitted and approved, that was just approved. Thank you for that. But most importantly, highlight where we're excited to go next with you all in phase two. So I'm going to start with asking a question for all the commissioners, with the exception of Derek Nimitz. Can anybody tell me what bird species this is you're looking at on this photo? It's really close. Very similar, different colored bill, though.
For a friend,
this is a common gallinule, which is poorly named because it is no longer common. This is an Indiana state endangered species, and what you're seeing here is what we call success, because these are five young chicks that are days, maybe weeks old. And this is not at Indiana Dunes National Park, it's not at Kankakee Sands, it's not downstate at Goose Pond. This is in the Little Calumet River Marshbird Conservation Area between Chase Street and Grant Street, and they're using a high quality marsh. They are what we call an indicator species. When the wetland is functioning, these birds are here and reproducing. The reason their population is tanking across the Midwest and the Great Lakes region is because we're lacking quality wetlands. We're lacking that rich mosaic of interspersion you see there with emergent vegetation and floating vegetation. You won't find these species breeding in dense Sphragmites. You won't find them in open water muddy ponds. Common gallinule. Derek, previously known as?
I'm not sure what it was previously known as.
Common moorhen.
Moorhen.
So we showed a little bit of this last time. Our project started a little over 2.5 years ago with you all. We exceeded our expectations in terms of the habitat we worked across, really improving habitat at 300 high priority acres. 130 acres of direct invasive species removal, mostly Phragmites. We got over 3,500 hours of kind from our newly established crew with Lake County Parks. You're going to hear from Craig about that. And we've documented breeding success as a baseline to scientifically approach the restoration process here. We've now executed the full $300,000 from the grant from the commission, and we've leveraged that over 2-to-1. Including some in-kind engineering from the Corps, which is about $150,000 worth, but also $300,000 from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. And we just very excited to tell you all that we just secured are launching this month our second round of funding, another $300,000 from National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. And both Audubon and the Wetlands Initiative also received funding in the last week, maybe 2 weeks, from the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation to support this work and more broadly our efforts in Calumet. We've engaged over 14 organizations, 480 individuals. Jen Johnson is going to allow that work. She's going to speak briefly on that in a moment. We've developed a conservation action plan that is scientifically guiding our work with input from experts and stakeholders. We've brought the Army Corps along with us to help develop a master plan so that they're ensuring maximum flood retention while we're optimizing conditions for wildlife. And we've really changed our approach in how we're determining areas to work. We've incorporated direct community input to focus on areas adjacent to the levees, such as Hatcher Park and Gleason Park, that are really strong priorities for the community. We'll be working towards green infrastructure projects there over the next 2 years. Last time I was here, I set myself up really nicely for this meeting, because I told you we were trying to do the most complicated burn that I have ever heard of in the entire Midwest. This is at the exact intersection of two of the biggest interstates, next to a community, on top of about 7 pipelines, under high tension.
Welcome to the region.
So I wasn't sure we were going to do it, but we knocked it out. We burned 60 acres at Martin Luther King Drive Wetlands, which is really a critical activity after you kill Phragmites, to get it off the surface. Open it up there on the picture on the right. If you took a picture today, you'd see a flourish of native vegetation. We've got low water right now, generally, so really a great time to get the Phragmites out of there. V3 is the contractor we worked with. They did an incredible job. That's them standing with Servando Moreno, our stewardship manager. Here's another site we focused on, Highland Heron Rookery. It just shows you the kind of the time lapse. We've got somebody in the audience who's an immediate neighbor from here and was telling me what it looked like yesterday. It looks great. It looks better than it's looked since I've seen it, which is about 7 years. First you kill the phragmites and then you remove it. And then you open up the door for native vegetation to establish. Just to show you quickly a series of maps. These are all in our report as well. And we're happy to take questions on them later. But this is the kind of the footprint at MLK South. That green acres is kind of the total acres we're talking about invasive removal. We've also worked in the blue area, more kind of pinpointing invasive removal. Here's Chase Street, in between Chase and Grant Street, where you have some of the best existing, what we call hemi marsh condition there. You can see on the right side, but it's starting to be overtaken by phragmites. So we work on the left, really just starting on that site and continue work there. And then that's Highland Heron Rookery, where we really utilize that marsh master that we talked about last time to cover a really large portion of the site. And then here's phase two. So we already proposed to you the water control structures you see there in purple, which will allow us to maintain water levels at certain times of the year for breeding marsh birds, drown out phragmites when we need to. The vast majority of the funding for those water control structures has been secured. We'll be working, the Wetlands Initiative, we'll be working closely with Dan to do the permitting. Dan, glad you're getting warmed up to permitting.
They're my friends.
You can see all the bird monitoring spots there, dark green. Derek, I know, has been interested in some of that data. All that data is publicly available in a generalized form online. If you guys want more detailed locations, we keep some of that because it's sensitive to threatened endangered species like king rail. We don't want people out there trying to track them down too much. Our phase two will continue building on the success of the restoration. We'll use contractors to cover all that area in green. The water control structures will help a lot, but we'll take care of basically all of Chase and Grant Street. The Lake County Parks crews, which we're really seeing as a long-term management body of this work, is going to work across those sites. And then we're going to work to finalize a design of what you see in yellow there. In Marshalltown Marsh, especially, what's just covered up from the view is what we call Marshalltown Marsh. It's an area just adjacent to Hatcher Park, really high priority for the community. We've already presented to Derek and Dan a working concept for a design there, and we plan to engage the full commission in the fall on that presentation and also work with the community to develop public access opportunities and plans for what could be a major remeander of the Marshalltown Marsh channel of the river. Funding is finished right now from you all, but just to show you our commitment over the next couple of months, we are flying a helicopter again at MLK Wetland South to retreat phragmites. We've got a follow-up from the marsh master at Highland Heron Rookery. We're going to plant a ton, and I mean a ton, of native plants at MLK South. Really the key with invasive species, it's like a scab. You can't just keep picking at it. You got to get it out, but then you got to get native plants established, and then it becomes much more easy to manage. So this will be our first major planting. We'll get the community involved in that. We'll plant tens of thousands of dollars with the native wetland plugs at MLK South. So with that, I'm going to hand it off to Craig Zanstra to talk in a little bit more detail about Lake County's role in phase two.
Quick question, I'm sorry, Matt. What was the blue again on the last map, the plant? It says other in the legend. But...
So these are other areas that we're evaluating that are wetlands with potential to have long-term management.
That's great.
How did those rank? How did you handle the ranking on why the ones that you chose were going to be presented as opposed to the other ones that were not?
Both Highland Heron Rookery and MLK South have the potential for water management, which really was determined by Dr. Sullivan and the Wetlands Initiative. So somewhat of an easy fix to be able to manipulate water levels across those entire sites. There are also sites that have some emergent marsh already. So the ability to create habitat quickly there was low-hanging fruit.
No, I'm sorry. I must have asked incorrectly. Between the yellow ones, which were going to be proposed, versus the blue ones that are still identified as wetlands or areas of concern, why did you pick those two versus the ones that are blue?
Marshalltown Marsh really has the most significant potential for heavy restoration. It's completely channelized there, and that entire over 100 acres has been leased up for agriculture. With a remeander of that river, you could create, it's the most significant area where you could create the most habitat.
So I'm looking at these yellow Hatcher Park and wetlands. So the meander is further down, right?
It's covered up on your screen.
Can you move that?
You can. I moved mine, but it didn't move for you.
You did?
Mine is on the other side.
So I understand the meander, and that's a huge project, and I get that.
Yeah.
But outside, you know, how about this for the question? For the blue ones, why didn't those make the list of things that you wanted to present to us tonight?
I think scale and cost, and just a phased approach to this work, because it is intensive and expensive. And
you chose to changing the course of a river as being the best one?
I think that, because that one has the highest potential for restoration success, to recovering wetlands as a whole. It sparked our interest from the beginning, our very first conversation with Mr. Repay.
Oh, I know. I saw the paperwork, and I'm trying to figure out why you're jumping to that one instead of cleaning up some of the 40 years of mess we've already inherited, which is what this group has primarily been responsible for since the flood of 2008 and since we were able to get funding.
That's a great question, great conversation to have. I think we're eager to speak with you all and direct those resources most appropriately. The Lake County Parks crew has the ability to do some of that cleanup, and they spent a lot of their time following up on contractor work and kind of getting into the more sensitive areas where contractors can't reach at these sites. But they've also worked at Lake Etta. They could work in really sites as you guys direct us.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Any other questions for this young man? All right, sorry, thank you.
Thanks, Matt. My name is Craig Zanstra, the Superintendent of Planning Natural Resources with Lake County Parks. Glad to be here tonight. Thanks for the past support for the last year. Our crew has been up in operation now since last July, July 1st. I think our first year has been pretty successful through the last growing season, winter work that we completed in several of the units, and then also through the summer to begin with. So we're fairly happy, very happy with what's been done so far. I'd like to first just talk about some of the leadership that we have as far as this project goes. Starting at the top, our park board is always the most important thing, appointed by certain elected officials and other agencies in Lake County. Our president, John Southsider, has been a great supporter of our projects. Our CEO, Secretary of the Board, Jim Basala, been with our department for over 40 years. Chris Landgrave is our chief operating officer. Myself, Superintendent of Planning Natural Resources, and that division is in charge of most of our natural resource-based park sites, Gibson Woods Nature Preserve, our bike trails, Oak Ridge Prairie, Grand Kanky Marsh, some of our sites that provide a lot of habitat, and some of our largest acreages in the park system. Our ecologist, Katie Mulkin, she's been with us for a long time as well, almost 20 years. She's got experience at Gibson Woods and other sites. She helps oversee our crew work through day-to-day. When they have questions on species or ordering chemicals, supplies, other things, they work with Katie to make sure we get the equipment out there and the supplies that we need to get the work done. Chris Wozinski, he's been with us for just less than a year now, but we got him from the Nature Conservancy, a very knowledgeable gentleman, helps us at Gibson Woods and other park sites. And he's been very helpful with our crew as well, helping them day to day for questions. Also helped them this winter with work as well, and is always available for them, which is very beneficial. Also at Lake Etta and Three Rivers, we have the same park manager, lives at Three Rivers County Park, but manages both Lake Etta and Three Rivers. His name's James Lewis. He does a great job at both. And that site's critical, both those, because Lake Etta and Three Rivers are both in the middle of this Little Kennemet River project, this collaborative. And that's very important for us, because to be able to be on the ground and get the work done in the coming years, we need central locations to be able to house this crew out of. So the crew has been working out of Lake Etta for the last year. Works out great. They have good access, sometimes from the park onto the trail they can work. And then also some days just driving to the sites from Lake Etta. Very easy, timely to get to the sites from that site with the vehicle. So it works out really well. Also, as far as moving forward, Lake County Parks, we're going to be there with a lot of in-kind overhead costs we're going to cover. A lot of it was other park staff that will be available in the coming years, other natural areas employees, park managers from other sites on occasion, park technicians, part-time seasonal employees. Also, maintenance is going to be a big deal. We have our maintenance division housed at Deep River County Park, and we've got three mechanics there. So they help with maintenance of vehicles, equipment of all types. Also, that's where we store some of our equipment and chemicals that we use. So that's very helpful as well. So having those folks involved is very helpful. In the picture here, you can see is Adriana on the right. She's our crew leader, has done a great job. And the next to her is Emily, another one that's been here full time for the last year and been very helpful. We want to have a four-person crew. Two of the crew would be seasonal throughout the summer months when we have the bulk of our work as far as treating species and some of the real technical work of, you know, spraying in places where you don't want to spray certain plants. You're hitting an invasive species, a purple loosestrife or something else that's in between other plants you don't want to kill. So it takes time and it can be, you know, just not easy work to do when you're working out in the heat, insects, you know, wet, you know, you've got waders on. So it's hard work. So they do a good job. And we hope in the coming years, we'll get two seasonal employees to help them throughout the summer. This year, we had a gentleman for 2 weeks. And then DNR ended up hiring them for another position they had open. So it's just the way it is this day and age. If you get a good employees, you try and hold on to them, but you always don't keep them all the time. So next, I just want to talk about with our open space plan here, some of what we got going on. Looking around, you can see at the top along the Lake River, this is our first, I guess, our Lake County Parks vision plan for 2019 to 24. Kind of explains the vision we have for our park sites, existing and future, and then what we're going to have going on. For the first 30 years of our parks, I guess, since this commission was installed years ago, you know, we included the Little Comet River Basin and that in our open space plan, because there was always a goal, I think, by our park board, past administrations, to look at the Little Comet River as not only for flood control, but for recreation. And that's what we do. We do recreation along with habitat and flood control and everything. So it always made sense, especially since Lake Etta and the commission had a long-term commitment back in the 70s when Lake Etta was established, all the way through Three Rivers, you know, about 20 years ago when it was open. So really, we've gotten in our plan from Wicker Park all the way, you know, east towards Three Rivers County Park and Lake Station and Gary. And that whole area we have included in our open space plan. To be able to have our board and others support us, our county council commissioners, to support us in the coming years in hopefully long-term commitments to helping this commission do management, recreation, and all kinds of good things along Little Kennet River. We've got a huge population here, and with the bike trails that are coming in to basically connect East and West Lake County through the Little Kennet River, it makes sense that you've got an agency that can help work with that, and in the long term, you know, work to help with the recreation side of it and everything else that happens in there. Also with that, you know, we're looking also, of course, with the water control structures that are coming in and the NIFWIF funding that we secured already to help match potential funds here from the commission for the next 2 years. That's important because the water control structure at Heron Rookery and also MLK South will be beneficial for our crew the next couple of years. The sooner we get in, the better. Because being able to manage those water elevations in those units will help a lot with keeping some of the invasive species out and then allowing these plugs we're planting and all the other plants that are coming up now, the native ones, to thrive and do better. Also, our crew's there to help look at those water control structures as well. We can have them go out there and make sure that the cords need to be pulled or added or what needs to be done to keep them maintained, they'll be there to do that. Also, the crew is very helpful if they see obstructions or anything else along the river, anything else that's going on. It's another set of eyes and ears for the commission to be able to go ahead and let you know when things are going on. So, you know, we consider this crew not only a county parks crew, but really it's a crew here for the commission as well, because they're there to do a lot of the work inside this flood control area for really the whole county and for future benefits there. So. Also, of course, then we've got the Marshalltown Marsh. We're excited about that. That marsh would be, you know, kind of between the Hatcher Park area in Gary and then also Three Rivers County Park. As you know, with the bridge and the new dam that went at Three Rivers, it's really exciting. We just had our park board meeting last month at Bellaboo's Three Rivers. Our park board was out taking a look at the bridge and the dam. Just seeing the people out there from Lake Station coming and people fishing along there, coming into the park from Lake Station. Lake Station now has great access to the park and they're using it, trust me. So now.
The place is cool, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, the park board was very impressed and very happy with what was done. So, yeah, and just looking now for the future, looking north into Gary, because I think Gary deserves great access into that park as well, because then they could have access as well. And we're already looking at ways to connect Hatcher Park with Three Rivers. So there could be a non-motorized trail connection that way. And then also looking in years to come to get that non-motorized connection between Hatcher Park and, you know, the rest of the greenways that are going in all the way to Hammond and Munster. So having all those communities tied together will allow for more recreation and more communities to be tied together, and then also more opportunities for everybody. So I think that whole project will lend itself then to just increased opportunities for everybody in that area. And we're also looking at maybe building a new nature center, some sort of environmental awareness center at Three Rivers, which we could use to also benefit the community and then tie all that in as well. So I think there's a lot of good things going on there. So with that, I would turn over to Jen Johnson and just say again that we're very thankful for what we've done so far and looking forward to the next couple of years. So.
Hold on a second, Mr. Zanstra. Any questions for Mr. Zanstra as far as what's going on through parks?
Just an observation and a quick question. Sorry. The projects you're proposing seem like a lot of heavy lifting, right? I mean, a lot of effort goes into maintaining what we've got, 436 acres. Is there anything that as a commissioner or community that we can do to utilize the resources like golf courses or cemeteries or whatever other open space that we have to help nurture the Audubon Society and the growth of the bird population? Like I played golf out in St. Charles and they had purple martin houses all over the place. It was really cool. And they were flying all over eating bugs. Is there any type of initiative or any type of thought process?
You own a golf course, don't you?
Yeah, Turkey Creek.
There you go.
Yeah.
And a creek there too.
And Cedar Creek and St. John as well. So, yep.
I just wonder if there's any type of thought process, along those lines where maybe it's not such a huge dollar commitment, but still needs some volunteerism and to maintain. And
yeah, people is the problem now. People a problem?
No, I think, you know, even at Turkey Creek and a few other places, you know, we try and keep areas unmowed, we've done a lot of native tree plantings with some local organizations recently, just trying to increase the habitat around the courses. I think cemeteries are a great reason too. I mean, you could plant a lot more trees in some of the cemeteries I passed up coming here tonight. But yeah, I think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. I mean, even talking to Griffith, I know it looks like they're going to put a solar farm in on the old golf course there at Klein Avenue. But I mean, there's opportunities in a lot of places, I think, for more habitat. I think getting our local municipalities involved would be great, because that's one thing I think that's a little lacking is sometimes our local municipalities and them on the habitat side, it kind of falls on us more from the county or the state or land trust. So I think maybe in the future, trying to get municipalities on board and getting them to do some of that habitat on their properties, whether it's the city Hammond, Munster, Highland, others through the community, Griffith, any of them. Gary, I know, has a lot of property along the Willamette River that probably could be used and is used for flood control, but we're already talking about a project, and I think Jen's going to touch on that, by Marshalltown. So I think there's a lot of things that are there, and you know, I think in the coming years you'll see more of that. So,
all right, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jennifer Johnson, and I'm the Community Engagement and Coordinator for the City of Gary, and I work specifically on the Wild Indigo program, the Wild Indigo Nature Explorations Programs. It's a program that connects families and people that are in underserved communities to their local and natural spaces. The program currently serves in Illinois, Detroit, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and of course, Gary, Indiana. And we make connections via outdoor recreation, stewardship, and education, and environmental education. So since I've been the coordinator for Gary over the last couple of years, I've been able to build some wonderful relationships throughout the community. And those relationships include those local municipalities like the City of Sgarry's Environmental Department, the U.S. National Park Service, the Urban League, and Dunes Cal and Brown Faces Green Spaces. And I wanted to highlight on the left, on the right, excuse me, this wonderful picture from an event that Dunes Cal, UMass Audubon, and the Urban League did together. This was to give out native plants to the residents in the area. And this was to help them do their part to bring local birds and bugs and help beautify their spaces. So through my relationships with the community, there have been conversations about the local parks. And one park that came up quite a bit has been Hatcher Park. And Hatcher Park and Gleason Park are adjacent to the project. And so I'm hoping in the future that Wild Indigo and its community partners can host stewardship opportunities in these parks and also provide educational opportunities. And these parks would be a visible improvement for the community. And they have been living with these blighted parks for the last few years, quite a few years. And they also serve as a gateway to the levee properties. And so it also makes those levees a lot more lively with people, and the people can find a use for those trails there. Also, we're looking at making a stewardship plan with the community. So not just saying, hey, we're going to do some natives here and that's it, without their input, but they can be involved in that process from the start. And also that includes the community science days. This is a chance for children and families to do a little water dipping or learn monitoring and expand their own knowledge of the area. And we also look forward to doing outdoor recreation. I've heard community leaders and partners tell me they want to go biking, they want to try fishing within these areas. And the one thing that I hear the most is that these places are they contribute to the wellness of the community and the wellness of the area. And so I want to thank the commission so much for your support. And I'm also here for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Gentlemen, anything?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Johnson, I just want to know, how can I participate in Blue Indigo? Or is there a way that I can maybe be a partner with some of the work that you're doing?
Yes. One thing that I try to do is try to collaborate across the board with different partners. So if there's something that the DNR has that says, hey, this would be a great place for engagement, or I'm also open to doing different programs. I've done, even with the COVID, I've done Zoom educational programs for different events. And so that's a really easy way to get involved.
Maybe we can speak after the meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'd love that.
Is this part of the community involvement line item in the proposed budget phase two? Is that what that says?
Yes.
Okay. I just question.
Yes.
And then you said Hatcher and the other park are both adjacent to the project. Again, the project is the yellow that Nat proposed or demonstrated earlier, depicted earlier.
Yes, the parks are also adjacent to the levees. So
right.
I've done site visits with our stewardship team. I also have a site visit coming up next week. Any of the commissioners are welcome to join us at 10 a.m. July 30th. And we were able to walk through Hatcher Park to the levee.
And
a couple questions.
Sure.
First of all, I want to compliment each one of you for a very excellent presentation, for the information that you provided all of us. Probably a lot of us didn't really know. But the other question I do have here is that I read some of your reports, and I'd like to know, what is your plan in order to make this particular habitat area a national heritage area? What's your plan, and how long would that take?
So the National Heritage Area is a project through the Field Museum. However, we've been involved in that over the years. The most that we can do is just continue to build visibility for these areas, and also to continue to monitor these areas, and also to continue stewardship on these areas. And the more people are talking, the more that we're making relationships about these spaces, that will bring up the visibility for the federal government.
Okay. The other question I have is this, is that we had a radio program here last Monday, and a question came up regarding the National Heritage designation. And the fact is that if this area will be considered as a designation, the economic impact for that particular area would be immense, because we, as I understand that the you have over 600 to 700,000 people in the Audubon Society as memberships who definitely would support this particular plan. And also there is something like about 25 million, which I really didn't know this at all, 25 million people who are interested in bird migration, bird watching, bird habitats. And so what I'm saying is that for this particular area, if you can, your organization together, the Parks Department included along with us, can support and give this the advertisement that it needs and the support that it needs, then the economic impact for this area would probably be immense. So I want to encourage you to take that back to your board, your members, and see what we can do. I can just tell you one thing now, that after our show that we had, I got a call from the one of our senators, and also from the municipalities, from Gary and Lake Station, said they were very impressed with the fact that what the Audubon is doing for that area. Like we said, we had no idea that that we had so much significant species and birds in the nation. That's important. And I think that your organization, along with Gary Park, along with the Lake County Park Department, should get that message out to this community, and because I think it'd be a really great thing for all of us.
Absolutely. And I just want to add, in closing, on our last site visit to Hatcher Park, we identified several species of native plants that are high value, and they're important to the environment. And so those are the kinds of things that are interesting and fun for people to enjoy, and also for birds to enjoy. But my part is the people part.
One other question I have before you leave. I want you to go back in history. There was three great men in this nation got together to do something before in the Michigan. And that was George Washington Carver, Henry Firestone, and Henry Ford. They all got together in order to incorporate environment along with industry and development. And if you go back in history and look and see what they did, that would be a great model for you to follow. Just to check it out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, this young lady? Thank you, ma'am.
I was just gonna, if I may add, a couple other outings to get on your calendars. If you'd like to join us at Martin Luther King South, is August 4th and August 12th at 10 a.m. We have our site visits there in partnership with the Wetlands Initiative. I know Jody and Dan, we usually close with public comment. There are a few folks we've invited here to speak on behalf of the project, but you want to do that at the end, or would it make sense?
That's his call.
I get to have all the fun calls. Finish this, make sure the board's done. If you want to bring them up as a part of your banner, I don't think there's any particular reason why we can't do that. You know, that would be
considered part of your team, if that's how you're looking to present it as such, because I'm understanding it's your group. You have parks, and I'm Ms. Johnson, you're with the city, correct? Are you employed by the city of Gary?
She's with Audubon Great Lakes as well.
She's Audubon Great Lakes as well. Okay. So you're in partnership with the city, just as part of your people park?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you also doing other parts in the city of Gary too, or other parts of the entire watershed? As far as all the wetlands, you saw in the pictures how many we have, and the watershed encompasses quite a few. Are you going concentrated kind of up in, you know, Hatcher Park area and in that area, or are you also doing this work elsewhere?
I'm all over the city.
The city of Gary.
The city of Gary, yes.
Okay.
And I pretty much come where I'm called.
Because we have 17 communities that are inside of this. I was just curious if you do this work as a part of with Great Lakes elsewhere or just in the city. Just in the city.
Just in the city.
Okay, thank you. Have that, sir.
You know, I specifically invited Ruth because I've been looking at photos of her birds. Where's Ruth? Of her birds in her backyard on the river. Maybe mention some of the improvements she's seen.
Ruth.
If folks from Dunes County Met Audubon or others want to speak.
I know Ruth.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, if a lot of you guys don't know me, a lot of people do. I'm Ruth Morris. And I'm associated with the Southmore Road part of the Little Calumet River. And I'd like to take you back in time to express my thanks to what the commission did to save our Southmore Road area. I'm sorry that you're stuck over there, but. Okay, I do want to thank at the very, very beginning of my little talk here that I must thank the Little Cal Commission. Thank you, Dan, for saving this part of the river bank. I want to thank Dan Baker. We're going to go back in time a little bit here. Bill Baker, Dan Repay, David Whiplin, who helped a lot with the crossing the T's and dotting the I's, but mostly Ron McCarron, the governor appointee from Indiana DNR. He was the one that absolutely loved to keep wildlife. Ron retired in August of 2017, and Derek, you replaced him in 2018. Is that correct?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. But I wanted to say too that for working with the residents on the riverside of Southmore Road, sometimes during very heated discussions between the commission, the Corps, and the residents, we did get a lot done. A lot of times people stormed out and had a couple bad words to say, but we came back again and did it all over again, starting all over. After the flood of 2008, we found out that the Army Corps planned to destroy the natural environment of our tree-lined river properties by cutting everything down to put in a concrete flood wall. Starting in 2009, Judy Vamos from the Little Cal Commission started to investigate the footage apparently needed for the work easements for the Army Corps flood control structure in our yards. In June of 2011, we received settlement offers for our property, which we rejected due to the inability of the commission and the Corps together to identify the plans moving forward. The first major hurdle after that was Karen, one of our residents, Karen's new 2.5 car garage. Now, Bill remembers this, and Ron remembers this. I see them smiling over there. Karen's new, brand new two-car garage was built legally on her property, but was apparently, from the Corps situation, was apparently across the Corps easement line.
which would make Karen have to cut down, replace, and move her new 2.5-car garage, which she did not have any land property left to put that. So that was one of the first hurdles that they had to figure out what to do. The second major problem, which finally broke the camel's back, the residents asked the Corps to explain if our rainwater, which runs over the edge of the embankment into the river, would back up, flooding the yards. The response from the Corps was, well, we never thought about that. There was a lot of that. After the residents requested an engineering professor from Purdue Cal to review the Corps' plans, the commission rejected the outrageous additional cost for a French drain system in our yards to alleviate the problem. Back to limbo again. Now, this is after this, now we're down to 2013. By November of 2013, Dan stated that a lot of things had changed and that the Corps agreed to accept the flood fighting scenario, which means prepare with boots on the ground to be there and put some sandbags down in our backyards if it were needed, and to look to future stabilization of the bank, for which there is no current timeline. This was as of 2013, or current arrangement. Thus, the original recommendation from the Army Corps to cut down all the trees and put in a flood wall was officially off the table. This is what we want to thank the Little Cal Commission for doing, for saving this very, very natural habitat. There would have been, if they would have done what they wanted, there would have been no trees on either side of the river for this mile-long stretch of where our houses are. There would be absolutely no natural environment for anything to live in there, since the sun would be there, there would be nothing. So, plus the property values of our land stayed where they are, and they have now increased because of the good management of the river. When there is a tree down after a storm, when something happens, we had one earlier this year that was a huge cottonwood tree that was right on the bank, and it fell in Dwayne Dedlo, prior mayor of Hammond, fell in Dwayne Dedlo's yard. Half of it went into his yard and half of it went into the river. And I called up Dan and said, come on out and take a look at this and see what you can do. In the meantime, the Dedlos had called their insurance company because it smashed the corner of their garage and hit part of their house. They said that the insurance company would pick up, but the rest that they had to pick up was an ungodly price that they just weren't ready to handle. Then Dan showed up and he said, oh, don't worry about it. We will take care of this. Within 2 days, he had the tree cutters over there cutting this out. And this is a huge old tree. But it was gone, it was taken care of, it was taken off of their garage, taken off out of their yard, and the Dedlos were especially thankful for Dan, the commission's backing, and for keeping this river moving. So Dan, again, there's another thank you for you.
History, Ruth, history.
We're in 2013.
Yeah. We're only in 13? Okay, just wanna make sure. Are you going all the way up till when?
Oh, it's just three more sentences. Oh. We're not going to go all the way up. This jumps, okay? So currently now, the private Southmore Natural Habitat, which we enjoy every day, was saved by the determination of Ron McCarron from the Indiana DNR and his love of nature. Thanks to the forward thinking of the Little Cal Commission with the Corps and the 15 residents, our properties were saved from unimaginable destruction.
Today, we enjoyed living on the high bank overlooking the river and enjoying watching wildlife on its own terms under old growth ash, oaks, various maples, cottonwoods, pines, and more. We watched the great blue heron, this is in the river, white egrets, wood ducks, mallards, Cooper's hawks, turtles, muskrats, beavers, groundhogs, raccoons, and a variety of fish and insects that would not have been there if they would have cut down all the trees. There is an abundance of songbirds, cardinals, sparrows, finches, red-headed woodpeckers, red-winged blackbirds, mourning doves, chickadees, and a lot of lightning bugs in the evening. I've also brought some pictures I'm going to pass around. I'll let you guys see them and pass them around. And again, the whole thing ends up with thank you to the commission. You worked hard with us. You put up with us. And I do want to say that it is right now the best thing that has ever happened. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, one thing I want to say too, that because it's private, there's no public place to come and see this. You can get a hold of Dan, and he can get a hold of me.
The tour guide too.
Because I or somebody else that's in the neighborhood has to let other people know that we're going to be walking in their yards. Because from the street to the river, you have to walk through individual yards. But all you have to do is let us know. Okay. Oh,
thank you, Ruth.
Dan, I do have one thing.
Uh-oh.
I was
talking. Is this part of the presentation under Nat or Ruth, or is this for later?
No, this is part of this.
This is unfinished business.
Really?
This is real business. Ryan, who lives at the very end.
Could you go do and go to the microphone?
Why don't we talk about it after?
So we're recording this, everybody that's out here, we have to follow a certain process.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
We've been through this before.
Yeah.
There must be a problem.
It's a problem. Yeah, I'll just talk to Dan about it. Thank you.
Quickly, I'd like to invite the Dunes County Maine Audubon Society. At least the president came in, if not a few of the members up to say a word.
Thank you for letting me speak. I'm Kim N. I'm president of Dunes County Maine Audubon, chapter of National Audubon Society, and our territory covers all of Lake and most of Porter County. And I agree with what you said about the economic value of birding. Birders come from all over the state. We had a festival this past May in Porter County that also traveled to a lot of areas in Lake County, including the Chase Street, Grand Street Marsh, and many of the parks that are part of Lake County Parks, including the Gary sites up near the Lake Michigan, Miller Beach, and Marquette Park. So birders bring with them a lot of enthusiasm for habitat restoration, and they bring their dollars because they like to eat, they like to take care of lodging and any other entertainment when they're done birding. So I do have another member of our board of directors that would like to have a few words.
Right. So I'm Matt Aglesky, and I live in Hammond, Indiana. I'm also on the board for the Dunes County Met Audubon. And I just wanted to echo what Kim said about the Dunes Birding Festival. So we actually get several participants. We travel around the whole region. I know there's other organizations in Chicago that also like to start possibly like doing other birding festivals. And the thing about this location, to address maybe some of the other things about different types of habitat, is that the wetlands habitat is a very specific type of habitat, as Nat was talking about. You can't just like attract gallinule or least bittern or any of these like really specialty species to just any type of habitat. So you really need to build that habitat for those species to show up. And there isn't a lot of that habitat in the region. Historically, if we go back earlier than 40 years, hundreds of years, this was a huge marsh, right? So these birds historically bred in all of these areas and are now basically gone. And that's the biggest threat right now to like all birds worldwide is habitat destruction. So increasing even 400, 500 acres is a ton to some of these species. So I just want to say as a resident of the region that I really, really support that idea of just like increasing the habitat. But it does also come with the economic benefit of having birders. the economic benefit of increasing capacity for floodwaters, you know, as someone who would kind of worry about that as being a resident. So I think that, like, just in general, I just want to throw my support for this plan because it sounds like something where it's kind of a win-win, right? Like, we're going to get hopefully better management for flooding, better economic development for some of these regions, and also just a nicer area for all of us to enjoy. So just want to say that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Wrap it up.
Hi, I'm Samantha Kowalski. So I'm a Highland resident. I am not really an ecologist or a member of any of these organizations. I just wanted to say thank you. My backyard is the Highland Rookery, and I love living in Highland. My partner and I, when we graduated college, we both grew up in Lake County, and we came home to Lake County to live in Highland because of the natural spaces. And I go to the Rookery all the time. It's where we get all of our exercise. And I just want to say thank you to all the organizations. Thank you to the commission for how great it looks. We spent a lot of time up there. I mean, last year we saw great horned owl chicks up there. And I'm a new birder. I don't know a lot of the species, but we just really appreciate the area and all of the work that has been done. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Say a couple more words if we're done. You have to close it, not me.
I didn't orchestrate the comments very well, but thank you for everybody for those comments. And thanks so much to the commission for your support. We're very excited about our partnership with you.
Great. Thank you, sir. All right, gentlemen, moving right along. Any questions for them? Say it now. If not, we're going on to other issues, new business. Anybody have anything for the better of the order? Great. Next up is my favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. We can just continue on if you'd like to help us. Please come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and help. Going once. Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Gary Lee. I live on West 30th in Gary. I have two pieces of property that is on the south end of, and I have a written statement here I'd like to have read into the record if possible.
Okay, sure. Not too long, is it?
No.
You can read it.
I may ask why there is such a problem with maintenance of the easement on the south end of my properties. Since 2012, I have emailed Dan Repave regarding infrequent and incomplete mowing of the easement. The segment I'm referring to is bordered on the east by Calhoun Street, west by Colfax Street, and north of the Norfolk and Southern Railroad. These emails have mostly received no responses. In addition to the mowing issue, there's a problem with silting. There's a 12-foot wide concrete bottom in the ditch. When the silt is allowed to accumulate, it provides a foothold for Phragmites to grow, which adds to the unsightliness of the area and impedes the water flow. The concrete bottom has not been cleaned since 2012, 9 years. Again, most of my emails have received no response. This easement is part of my yard. I mow my yard once a week during the growing season and would venture to say the members of the commission do the same. I ask you to schedule weekly mowings for this segment and that you schedule silt removal when weed growth appears on the top of the concrete base. Also, please send someone out to inspect the north and south ditch slopes. Specifically to Dan Repay, in your email Thursday, August 29th, 2021, you state the commission does not receive public funding. For the second time, where does the commission receive its funding? I also would like to take issue with the email of Tuesday, January 22nd, 2021. Yes, I called the police on your contractors because they were engaged in illegal activities. Contractors stated they were acting at the direction of the commission and at my request refused to stop. You state, and I quote, "So we will clean the ditch and keep it acceptable, or according to USACE standards, as we have been doing for 5 years or so since I began here in 2010. End quote. Again, the last time the ditch was cleaned was 2012. You state the commission receives acceptable inspection reports on this segment. I have checked the commission's website and can find no such reports on this segment bordered on the east by Calhoun Street, west by Colfax, and north of the Norfolk and Southern Railroad. I've asked for someone to come out and inspect this segment, even suggesting you, Dan Repay, come out and walk the ditch with me. Again, I ask for copies of any inspections related to my properties, and in the future, as a property owner, I ask to be provided inspection reports for this segment. In conclusion, for the commission, I have 29 pages of emails and 3 pages of documents I would like entered into the record. For brevity's sake, I would not want to read them. Will you please address the concerns addressed here and in the 29 pages of emails? Any comments or questions from members?
No, I'll make a comment. If you could send that document to the office and address it to Dave Wicklin, who's our attorney, we'll review those things and make sure that we take it into consideration.
Okay.
What consideration?
Thank you. Sir, if you'd like to have a conversation, you can come up next and you can speak to that as well. Anything else, sir?
So I would just address that to whom now?
Dave Wicklin, who's the attorney for the commission.
Okay, and send it to the
office of the Little Calumet River Basin Development. It's up there, the card, I'm sure, up there as well, and it's on the website, and you should be able to do it that way.
Okay. If anybody would like copy of those, I have some extras. Anybody would like a copy?
Thank you.
Yes, also this problem. I live.
Yes, sir. Could you state your name, please, and your address?
3036 Calhoun. I live right off that project. Again, I live off that property, and they say 2010. That's questionable. I know for a fact that it's not been maintained in the last 10 years. Because I used to maintain it myself for 8 years.
If it's an easement, I don't know any of the specifics, but if it's an easement, we don't own it.
Well, who owns it?
It just provides us the access to be able to put equipment or people on it to do the work necessary for a $275 million man-made flood control project.
When they built this project, I asked the same question. Who's going to maintain it? Who's going to keep it clean? Calumet River Basin Project Second. We will do it.
I understand, sir. But, you know, since that, were you living there in September 2008?
Yes.
Do you see what happened?
Yes.
So those are the same people that made that happen. So I can tell you is that we're going to do the best we can to do what needs to be done under the confines of what we're trying to do. So by all means, I hear what you're trying to say. And if that's something that needs to be addressed, we're going to be doing just that. And we'll provide you with some feedback to let you know how this
Where does the word maintenance come into this project?
Excuse me?
Where does the word maintenance come into this project?
Where does it come into this project?
Yes. It hasn't been maintained, so we know it's not there.
Well, maybe on your section of Calhoun Street.
In 10 years? Nothing?
I don't know, sir. I'm not going
to
debate.
Every time they last time they cut it, they pushed all the grass into the ditch.
I suggested a way for this to be able to go from A to B, and this is not it. So if those things can be submitted through the lawyers, and we'll have to go through it that way, because if it's a property issue, it's a property issue.
One more question, please. They just cut the grass about a month and a half ago. I thought, oh, my God, they might be doing something. But all the leaves and pragmati and everything was put back into the ditch. Consequently, it got plugged up. Nothing flows underneath the street. What good is cutting the grass that plugged it up and it's supposed to be a water maintenance project? What good is it plugged up?
I understand.
I mean, again, all we hear is rhetoric.
Thank you. Anybody else? No more statements to the floor. All right, moving right along. Moving down the line here as it relates to comments from the commissioners. Always one of my favorites, Mr. Ware.
I'd just like to thank everyone for the attendance tonight. Great presentations again tonight. very informative as a new board member. I always come away with something new from the presentations and the history as it relates to Ruth and all of our history with involved with the commission. So thank you, everybody.
Mr. Oche.
I second Ron's comments. Ruth and the rest of the presentation people are on. It's great to hear a passionate and compelling presentation for what you're trying to do and engaging the community environment. And I think that's one of our initiatives here at the commission is to hear everyone's voice. It's very enlightening to hear that history that I'm also new to the board. My Hammond resident also. So it's great to hear that there's people totally engaged and they're passionate for what they believe in. So it's great to hear that. And it's very enjoyable to listen to and enlightening.
Yep. Mr. Wyszlinski.
Nat, just want to thank you guys for doing a thorough presentation. It's nice to go through what and the progression of what's happening and the next steps. And I think we're very interested in moving to the next steps, if that's the way we're going to go, especially with fighting fragmites and things like that. So thank you very much.
Mr. Gazdecki.
I'd also like to thank the Audubon Society. The communication has been great over the last few months, and I think that the presentation you guys did tonight was fantastic. Certainly eye-opening, and I'm encouraged that we're making such good progress in most areas.
Thank you. Mr. Broadnax.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Nimitz.
I'd like to say thank you to all that presented tonight to the great presentations, but I have to say that I love to hear the enthusiasm from the visitors tonight about our natural resources in Northwest Indiana. I appreciate all that you do, whether it's volunteering to monitor rare bird species or control invasive plants. I just want to say thank you, as well as educating the residents here. So thank you very much.
Mr. Castellanos.
Just wanted to say that everything that Derek has said, I definitely sign on board to what he just said. And also, I just want everybody to know that on August the 9th at WLTH Radio, we're going to have the mayor Gary on and part of our conversation is going to be with about the Audubon and the developments that were going on. And also to everybody that who came up to the podium to express their thoughts and their grievances to this commission, I just want to let you know that we don't take, we handle everybody's problem. We don't let anything go by. I can tell you one thing, that we'll give everybody every kind of consideration. And also let you know that this, being a commissioner here is a second time, is like a nighttime, second time job. I mean, I give more hours to this job than I give to my own business. So I just want to let you all know that we're committed to this community and we're looking forward to everybody to have a quality of life. Thank you.
All right, thank you, folks. The next meeting is always going to be on the third Wednesday of the month. That's going to be August 18th. Check the website for the location. Because we're living in the new world, we'll need a motion to adjourn if we're finished.
So moved.
Second. Motion and a second. I'm assuming there's no discussion. Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
No.
I can only do that.
Yes.
Derek.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Be safe. Enjoy the summer. Go out outside and check right.